The news of the passing of Sir Roger Moore left me shaken, not stirred. The Trump Report starts now!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
And that's right, a little light music, a little leitmotif to bring us into the Trump Report. Welcome to the Trump Report. I'm Christian Blatt. On Twitter and Instagram, at ChristianDMZ. We've got a full house tonight. Next to me is our friend Brooke Taylor, Brooke Solis Taylor, at Brooke Solis TV. Get very confused. I think I'm just going to have to stick with the Brooke Solis. There's no more Taylor here. Anyway, welcome. And look at this. Next to Brooke, we have two strong Latinas on the panel tonight. Chelsea Galicia, back from, we don't even know where you went.
Foundation meeting, board meeting.
Oh, so fantastic. Not vacation with Bernie and Jane. That's what people in the chat expected. Or you can't say.
Well, actually, I should have found out if I could say, but there was some, you know, Bernie Jane stuff recently.
But you can't
vacation
say.
Vacation plans.
So find out if you can say next time.
Okay.
All right.
I may have a fun selfie to share.
Wow. Yeah. That's all we look for.
Deep tease.
And the most fun of all fun selfies, the one and only Scott Moore, that's Man 80. And some jerk has to turn his phone off because it was making noise. I don't know who that was. Anyway, welcome. And big shout out to our friend Stephen Lemieux, who not only always makes the great graphics that we use as a thumbnail for the show, but he messaged me over the weekend and he was very excited about using the Megadeth song we heard on the way in, Architecture of Aggression. So thanks, Stephen Lemieux, somebody who takes a very cursory, passing, fleeting interest in this show, but we appreciate it. I guess the place to start really is the least fun thing that we'll have to talk about this evening, and that is the terrorist attack at the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester last night. Now, earlier today, British Prime Minister Theresa May raised the nation's threat level and deployed the military to guard concerts, sports matches, and other public events, saying another attack, quote-unquote, may be imminent. So, first of all, I think that sounds like a good idea. I heard from people who, you know, have been to concerts recently that there has been kind of an increased presence. I know somebody that went to a concert in New Jersey over the weekend, and there weren't just the usual police. There you had like people with AK-47s, you know, just sort of patrolling.
Wow.
So like pretty hardcore. So when you see that, you can get a little nervous, or you can think, okay, they probably know about something. Better safe than sorry. And I don't know. I mean, that's a good approach, I think, that they need to do in the UK. And what we know about the bomber, his name is Salman Abedi, of Libyan descent, but very important to point out, born in the UK. Mm-hmm. Now, the security services there were aware of him. So you never like hearing that. We hear that about various shooters and things, you know, in this country and internationally, that people are aware of these people. The brothers of the Boston bombing, people were very much aware of them and, you know, all that. So, he's born in the UK. So the idea that I saw far too many tweets that said that this reinforces President Trump's proposed travel ban. Mm-hmm. You can have a travel ban if you want. These guys were born here. I think what it does bring up is the idea of what can you do to combat this kind of hatred and the idea that people can, you know, do something this terrible. And whether he's part of an elaborate network, which we'll talk about, or he's a lone wolf, still one person can show up at something and do this kind of damage. And so I'll be very sexist and start with Scott and allow you to sort of work our way down. And your thoughts about basically everything that you've heard so far about all of this and where we go from here.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard. Like, where do we start with this?
It's a great question. I have no idea. I'm like, I'm glad he went first.
Wait, do I just punt it back to you guys now? I'm like, let ladies first.
Because you want
to
be a gentleman. And
let ladies go first. No, it really is hard because where do you begin with this? Because there are so many layers to this. And like you brought up, it's these homegrown terrorists that are radicalized. You have soft targets like concert venues that are easier for a terrorist to do a plan like this, because you come in, especially like they were saying last night, he came in towards the end of the concert.
Right, and he's outside.
So even
if you increase the perimeter,
right,
then you just get a little closer.
Exactly.
And that entrance apparently was on the way towards the tube, towards the train.
Right.
So, you know, it was very carefully selected. Mm-hmm. So, great, if you expand the perimeter, then you do it, what, at the train station? You know what I mean? So it's right. it's impossible to 100% prevent something like this.
Absolutely, and I think that's the thing that makes it the scariest, is that there's always going to be a potential, and they're always going to try to find those soft targets and find ways to do this type of mayhem. But you're saying, how do you go back to helping quell that anger and that hatred? I mean, that's a whole other thing that has so many layers to start with, to be able to, why these people become radicalized and feel that they need to do such horrible, horrendous acts.
Well, this might be controversial, and not to jump over you, but I'm of the conviction, and some people might not agree, but that we need to speak with the more moderate Muslims here in America, talk to them, understand where they're coming from instead, and have more of a dialogue so that we're able to, because some of those... If he was Islamic, right?
Yeah, he and his brother, who was arrested this afternoon, they do go to the same mosque, and we'll talk about his brother
exactly.
in a moment.
Exactly. So that way, not to focus on Muslims, but to have a conversation, have a dialogue, and talk about how we can have something productive and fruitful instead of automatically saying, I'm already seeing these memes out there that are like, Ariana Grande is crying, this liberal who just wished she could go back to her America. Oh, now she wants to go back, you know, basically saying, and that's why we should have had this Muslim ban in the first place. But opening up that dialogue to have constructive talk about, you know, preventing these radical extremists, essentially.
I mean, it's a difficult issue to talk about, because it seems like when you even start to go down the road that Brooke's talking about, you're basically sounding anti-Muslim. And look, if these were people whose background was Quakers or Jewish or Scientologists, just kidding, I don't have anything bad to say about Scientology, but, you know, you would focus there. But this is a place where they seem to meet, and they can run into, you know, some of the more radicalized people. I mean, their father basically left to go fight the jihad in Libya, you know. So I don't, you know, there's not much you can do at that point, because clearly there was some kind of element in their lives and their dad left. It's hard. I don't know, Chelsea, what do you think? I mean, is it a reasonable approach to go to Muslim leaders and just say, look, we're not trying to say that this happened because they're Muslim, but when you can trace things back to, you know, meeting people at especially some of the larger mosques, you know, we always say to us, if you see something, say something. Can you say that to them?
Well, that sounds like exactly what Trump said And almost exactly word for word, he's like, I'm not trying to make this a Muslim thing. We're kind of going back on his rhetoric from the campaign, which was very anti-Muslim, to say this is not really religious. This is not, you know, even a problem within a religious group. If this is a war, a battle between good and evil, and he was soliciting their help in combating evil.
And to drive out terrorists, drive out the terrorists, drive out the extremists, drive them out of your places of worship, drive them out of your communities, drive them out of your holy land, and drive them out of this earth, which all sounds great.
I'm not sure if...
I mean, if you could actually achieve that.
I don't know. Right. I mean, and I'm not a therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist, and maybe one would be helpful in this, but if further isolating these people is really the best way to get them to be more communal and care about their fellow man.
Right,
I get the idea, but we literally, what are we going to do? Like... You know, I mean, I guess the UK is like an island. They can push him off and let him. I mean, but we can. I mean, it sounds great to say push them out, drive them out.
Drive them out of the planet? Sure. Are we gonna say,
but that I mean, is, it's kind of, it's like unrealistic. What are we going to, you know, want another, you know, what Australia used to be? We're going to just drive them all to an island and let them, you know, just to stay there. But so what does that actually mean? To drive it out, you have to drive out the hatred from the human being. You can't just destroy the human being. We don't do that. We don't kill people for hating anybody, you know, unless they actually then kill somebody, then we still do kill them. So I think the better focus is on we cannot stop every last person, probably.
No, of course not.
But we can look to see what are the reasons. I mean, it can't be this many homegrown terrorists for no reason. And some of them, sure, are probably mentally disabled, and there's not enough social programs in the world, not enough family support, community support that would have changed their heart and mind about doing whatever they did. But to think that they're all just crazy, evil people, and that we have nothing, there's nothing we can do except just shoot them, get rid of them, or however you want to drive them out of our society, to just kill the person, I mean, that's not really feasible. Yeah. We can hope to maybe drive out the hate that is instilled in them.
Right, and it's like, but you're saying, it's almost like you have to get to the root of the issue. It's not a black and white type mm-hmm. thing as that Trump generalized speech is. It's these are splintered groups from a main religion. It's sort of like the Irish Republican Army back in the 90s that was doing the bombings in Northern Ireland. You know, it was a splinter group of these extreme Protestants against the Catholics, and you see it, you know, in the Middle East at the time. You know, there's all the in Israel and Palestine, you have these very splintered off groups that are extreme, that have extreme views but don't represent the overall religion. And it's finding out where that root of those issues really is. And like you said, Chelsea, it might be more social services. Where are they being turned away and feel
where
that they have
feel
to go
so wrong,
that they have
exactly.
to go to this extreme splintered extreme group, but it doesn't represent all of Muslims. It doesn't just like the IRA didn't represent all of Protestants. And so it's finding how these people turn that direction.
I think in most practical terms, it's figuring out, I mean, most of the time when someone adopts an extreme mm-hmm. ideology like that, there's some type of weakness, there's some type of longing to mm-hmm. to belong or to understand or to feel wanted. Mm-hmm. It, even when you think about like someone joining a gang, for
right.
example, I think it's understanding that ideology, understanding that weakness, and that's why I mentioned these more moderate Muslims, someone mm-hmm. that they can connect to, mm-hmm. having that dialogue or having that understanding and connecting with them and everyone kind of working together. I know it sounds so hippie,
well,
kumbaya,
right,
but I mean, what else are we going to do? Like you said, we can't just drive them out or just target
no,
them
and
because
to sort
of
have people that, you know, they at least trust to some
Precisely.
Extent say that, you know, this isn't what's in the Quran. I don't know where you're getting this. Mm-hmm. This is certainly not something Muhammad would want, but in their own way, the ultimate fundamental problem is they feel like they're doing God's work.
Right, exactly.
So to convince them that, but like, you know, no, God doesn't want this.
Right.
I don't know who told you that he did. And yeah, it's a fundamental problem that
they're
regardless
being led
of
by
the
people who hate us.
Yeah.
But,
right.
And
hate Western values and hate
well,
everything
actually,
that we
but
stand
I, but
for
as I
in
understand
that sense.
It, not really. They like the culture to some
well, they
degree.
Like the things that work for them, but I'm saying in the overall, you
yeah,
know,
and they
the
feel
way,
exploited,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that there are, you know, real ways that we can take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like speaking of taking responsibility, like last week, Rex Tillerson said about the drug war that the United States demand for drugs is the reason
mm-hmm.
why we have this problem with the United States and Mexico and so many people dying on both sides of the border. That was the first time that
mm-hmm.
I had heard a politician in a very long time
mm-hmm.
kind of point the finger back at us and take the blame and take the responsibility. And if we could do that in this sense,
right.
like there are things that we do that maybe not cause it outright, but generally can
help inflame it.
Yeah.
Yes,
like,
to help.
Like, I don't know. You think this $110 billion Saudi arms deal to send massive deadly weapons
mm-hmm.
over there is going to help anybody like us?
Well, and it's the same thing as, you know, when we talk about building the wall to kick people out. And we've talked about this before on previous you know, episodes, is that you have to go to the root of the problem with that too. Like, why are these people having to leave their home countries? What are we doing to make the situation so untenable in, you know, Central America and other places that they feel they have to leave?
I mean, that's amazing that you would even ask that, because most Americans don't even ask
to Mexico. But that's what I'm saying. Like, solving the problem has to start from just putting up a wall and kicking them back. Why are they leaving, and what are we doing to make
I mean,
that situation bad?
People would have to actually learn history and see what the CIA did in,
right.
in Central America to cause
and
the
how. But how can we get to that
and
fix that? It's the same kind of thing of how can we work on the root to then help the cause and the effect of why people are doing it. Same thing with
the very
extremism.
First thing is that we're going to have to understand that as easy as it sounds and as great of a narrative
mm-hmm.
of this is a battle of good versus
mm-hmm.
evil sounds and it can
Black
get people riled out.
Losers and
yeah,
yeah.
losers
right.
as
that
Trump
was
said.
It. He was like, I'm not
evil
even going to call them murderers. They don't even deserve
mm-hmm.
that title. Or no, he didn't want to call them monsters.
Yeah.
Right.
He thought that would be honoring them,
that
I guess.
They would like that.
And he also didn't want to say radical Islamic terrorism either now. All of a sudden.
Well, now that he's president.
Now that he's president, now it's not.
Part of, it's not in the job description. Yes. You're not allowed to say it if
right.
you're president.
If you're president.
So obviously, look, we could go in circles and talk about the big picture solutions. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to try and throw a bunch of things at the wall. All we can do is see and hope we start to hear some of these voices. In the short term, in the more practical, what the police in Manchester did was they raided and arrested his 23-year-old brother, Ismail Abedi. And my thing is, you know, it seemed like they had posted some things online that were very pro-jihad. So I'm perfectly okay with them sitting down and, you know, let's keep an eye on him. Let's put him in a small room. And, you know, if it turns out that he didn't have anything to do with anything and this is just an instance of racial profiling, I'm okay with that.
Well, the
because,
bomb was
you know,
extremely sophisticated as well. So
yeah,
there's doubt that it was just him.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, so they've been on social networks, so they've been praying and chanting in the street. And to me, this sounds like, I don't know, I'll ask our recovering lawyer. It sounds like probable cause to detain him for a certain amount of time. I don't know what the laws are in England.
That's
but
a good point.
I feel like the rights are a lot different there. You don't even have the right to free speech in London, or London, the whole country, of course. And, you know, I think that I'm okay with keeping an eye on him for a little while and really taking the time and making sure he doesn't go anywhere.
I mean, now it's really easy to see, oh, yeah, there was probable cause to, you know, take him in. But mm-hmm. at the time, and let's just assume that they have First Amendment rights the way we do, because that's the only law that I'm trained in. You know, posting videos and praying are all expressions of free speech. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so if it had happened in the United States, that by itself would not be anything. Now, the buying of these materials and
yeah.
putting them all together and that now you've crossed the line and you are taking action that is dangerous or likely to cause harm. But just posting videos and praying in the United States would not have gotten them apprehended.
Yeah, and you know, look, when especially in the wake of a terrible incident like this, I personally am all right with some of the more, you know, a little bit more Homeland Security approach of just in case, you
well,
know.
That's
and
the thing,
and
though, and is I, that isn't that what the terrorists want?
Mm-hmm.
Is they want to infringe upon our way of life by instilling
right, yeah,
fear
exactly.
mm-hmm.
and
sure.
therefore having us change the way we operate.
But if this guy is a terrorist, what he really wants is to make us doubt whether or not we should arrest him and sneak across the border and never be seen again. So it's a very gray area. I feel like it's a case-by-case instance, and this is the one where I'm like, yeah, I'm glad they had him while they could kind of build a case against him. You run into a lot of problems if this becomes a regular practice, you know,
well,
in other
I'm
areas.
Sure
but
maybe there's something that, you know, text messages or communications between the brothers that have been intercepted, so there
yeah,
might be more
there
than
might,
we know.
There is probably...
And there's footage as well of the brother carrying the bag, I guess, outside of the arena.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Well,
I didn't even
go.
Know that.
Yeah.
So,
I
yeah.
Okay.
I think
yeah.
that's what I was reading too. Something
yeah.
where the brother
in
was,
any country,
was
that's
connected.
Enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're interested to know what everybody in the chat thinks. So if you're watching live on YouTube, please
share
your thoughts with
us. Would it be possible for us to zoom in on the chat? Because I don't know if it's my eyes
no,
or
it's not definitely
as good.
No, I can't see either.
I thought it was
really
just
small.
Because I'm in my 40s that I couldn't read that.
Oh, now he's like, extreme
no, like, oh, I'll show you.
I'll show you.
Extreme close yeah. up. But anyway, so we'll get to that, and we can certainly circle back. Now, we alluded to President Trump's Middle Eastern tour. He's really going the distance and... We referenced the anti-terror speech, which depending on you know where your ideologies lie, some people said was a tremendous success.
Well, of course,
and they felt very strongly about it.
Because
you know,
it's easy to get behind,
right?
Good versus evil, and I'm the good.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to
and
think
we're
that they're
drive
good.
Evil out.
But his tone has certainly changed in comparison to how he was speaking when he was campaigning.
Yeah,
of course.
He right, yeah. It's
and also when he's on
the
home... Well, also, I was going to say he's at the home version of,
exactly.
you know, or he's, you know,
when
he's
you're
not
in
a,
someone's home,
exactly,
you don't talk
you're
badly
be a lot
about them directly
nicer
to their faces.
Than you can be when you're campaigning in the States thousands of miles away.
You got your hand
so.
On the golden orb. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I want to talk about. If we could bring up the photo that I emailed, and a lot of people have seen it, but just for our viewers on YouTube, I want to make sure that everybody sees it. And I thought about how I could... do a lot of research and try and figure this out. But it's the weirdest thing I've mm-hmm. seen. I mean, they're, you know, it's basically like the opening of Macbeth. You know, they're trying to see what's going on. And
well, they are celebrating the opening of this this place, right? This
so like a
anti-terrorism.
Mall? I know, right?
It's oh, like not a mall. It was a.
It was. It's a actual.
Oh, see, with the glowing orb, I thought it was a discovery zone.
So to me, it was like Freaky Friday, yeah. And then they're switching bodies, and Trump's now going to become the.
Wow, you should hold on to that idea and shop it around town because, yeah,
you know, it was like symbolism of their. Coming together to celebrate the opening of wherever they are, and I forget what it's called, but also to come together as one to combat terrorism.
Well, look, I think that, you know, it just looks so weird, mm-hmm. and there's something very dark and sinister about mm-hmm. it. It's not during the day. There's something very creepy, and they're looking in the crystal ball, and we were supposed to be worried about how tight Hillary was with the Saudis, and
of course.
Speaking of which, here's a $110 billion arms deal. Go ahead. No
and
problem.
Make sure you use that to combat
and
ISIS.
Make sure you get a donation to Ivanka Trump's foundation as well on the side.
And I saw a great tweet, which if I would attribute to the person who wrote it, if I could remember, but I was scrolling and I read so many things earlier today, that there's a lot of talk, you know, about like, not about this in particular, but this was Trump's Watergate, the Russia investigation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I don't know about that being Watergate, but this is his Iran-Contra. You know, it's just like, what is he actually going to accomplish? We know what he said this is going to accomplish, but I don't know. I don't trust countries that still have kings. You know, I don't know.
Absolute control.
Yeah, that's what. Not figurehead kings.
Countries 9/11,
mm-hmm.
right?
And also the way the women are still treated.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to get at. The way women are treated.
11 or whatever.
Hijackers.
No.
Yeah.
Were
exactly.
born there. Mormons.
Yeah. And I mean, they're supposedly our friends in the region.
Right. Well, I don't know about friends. It's just that we have a common enemy. Is that we, I guess, both don't
right.
like Iran the same
right.
amount.
And a common love
and
for
a common
money.
Love for money and oil.
Which exactly. sounds an awful lot like how, you know, in the 90s, how we helped out Osama bin Laden. You know?
Right.
It's like,
mm-hmm.
until we have a
like
common
him.
Enemy.
Right.
So
until we don't
anymore.
We haven't
learned our lesson. How many times do we want to do this over and over and over before we do a different way? Mm-hmm. So for everybody who's like, oh, yeah, let's just try Trump. Let's try him, somebody who's never been a politician before and see
that
if we could just do something different.
Thing.
Nothing has changed. Don't be surprised when there's more terrorist attacks because we are arming the very people who eventually come back and kill us.
And mm-hmm. we also could have said, if you've seen how it worked in California with Arnold Schwarzenegger as a novice politician, as entertainer, or Jesse Ventura in Minnesota, it did not work out well for either of these two states with these governors. It's like, when are people going to learn that bring in somebody who's a businessman to try to run a country that's not run like a business is not the right thing to do? But Trump and Saudi Arabia are a match made in heaven.
If you think about it, Russia has been using our businessmen in
right.
order to connect with us and connect with our love of capitalism for as far back as mm-hmm. we can remember. So it's like a storybook play out. I mean, I don't know how Trump supporters could not have... Well, mm-hmm. a lot of them, I could see how they wouldn't understand
it's like
it.
To Chelsea's point about the cyclical nature mm-hmm. of it, it's basically just an extended version of the movie Groundhog's Day. Now, what I want to do is move on because,
otherwise, we're going to become Groundhog's Day?
Yeah. Yes. As always, time is never our friend on this show. And President Trump, he was the first sitting president of the United States to visit the Western Wall. Great for a photo op.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly what that accomplishes. And it seems like he and Bibi Netanyahu getting along pretty well. How long is that going to last? Chelsea, as you see President Trump rubbing elbows with Netanyahu, you know, going up to the Western Wall for the photo op. What do you think when you see all that?
It's very flimsy because, I mean, already it seems like he did something that Netanyahu was like, what the heck was that about? When mm-hmm. In the joint meeting said, I never said Israel. I never mentioned the word. I never mentioned the name. So all of you who think I told the Russians about Israel, you're wrong.
Exactly.
Basically, that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
And he's like,
it's like going up to the guy that your girlfriend likes and being like, oh, no, but I never said it was you. I said someone liked him, but not you.
Yeah.
And she's like,
great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's like...
Well, because Trump obviously has a crush on BB. I mean, if you look at him, you can't blame him. Although that's the kind of comment that got Stephen Colbert in trouble. So it was just a joke. I take it back. I'm so sorry. I don't know. Brooke, do you think that this bromance from Netanyahu and Trump is something that's likely to last for however long this administration is there?
I also think Netanyahu is just trying to play his political cards mm-hmm. right now. he's obviously much smarter. Whenever this whole Russian intel leak happened, they said it hasn't affected our relationship with the U.S. and our intelligence relationship, and he's just playing the cool, calm, collected president or leader that we should have, that we don't.
We couldn't vote for BB, right? Because he's not...
I'd also add that he comes from the political party on the conservative side of what would be, you know, Republicans, so that's why they're sort of enamored with each other to begin with. And you always have a reset with a new president. So you always are kind of excited, like the Saudis, because they didn't, you know, BB and Israel didn't have the best relationship with Obama before, and same thing with the Saudis.
Right.
So to them, it's like, oh, good, it's this new shiny object. It's this new...
Very shiny.
You know, so it's like, this is sort of a reset for them, and they're more aligned. He's more aligned, and Republicans are more aligned with their interests with Israel as far as the conservative party there, and with Saudi Arabia, with... oil and businessman and deals and all that. So to them, it's more of an alignment than what it was with the previous administration.
And I'm sure Israel's more hopeful that they have President Trump now, because President Trump is very easily swayed.
Yeah, that too.
You have one dinner with him, and you're best friends with him, and he can vouch for you, and especially, he might even bring you onto his administration.
Especially if you have a great chocolate cake, an amazing chocolate cake at that dinner. It's kind of all it takes.
I want to know what he put in the Western Wall. You know, they mentioned he put.
Oh, I know. There's
note.
Lots of hilarious.
I think they zoomed in and it said Schwarzenegger still sucks. But so we referenced it a little bit. Robert Mueller named special counsel to investigate Flynn and the Russia connection, and President Trump says that this is the greatest witch hunt in history. I think that anybody who was blackballed during the McCarthy era would probably disagree that that is probably the greatest witch hunt in history. Well, you could probably come up with others, but you just need to look there. You don't have to go far back.
You could go with President Obama and the birther movement. That themselves is already more ridiculous than what he's claiming right now, because that was completely made up and drawn out for years.
We should call him the witch hunter in chief.
Yeah. And let alone going on to anything else of any worldwide leaders and anybody else and any presidents that dealt with horrible things. I'm not even going with assassination, because that's a whole separate thing. But presidents had to deal with a lot worse things than him. And again, it's him whining
making himself the winner or the victim.
Right.
Those are the only two roles that he's allowed to
Or the victim that's the winner. Like I've always said, if he resigns early, it's going to be him being the victim and be like, nobody let me do what I need to do. And... you know, so I still win.
To circle back to the Western Wall for a moment, because we have a graphic for our YouTube viewers. The note that President Trump wrote, it basically says
that's separate. That was at the Holocaust.
Okay, so I'm glad you clarified that, because
that was
I remember
the note put in at the Western.
Yeah, so this was at the Holocaust Museum, not the Holocaust Museum. There are many in the world, but you can see on YouTube what it is that it said. If you're just listening on iTunes, it basically says, sophomore year was great. Have a neat summer. See you in September.
It was the most trite thing
that you've ever seen ever.
Sad
exclamation point is what it was.
And Obama's note was, he wasn't even president then. He was senator, and he still had something more.
Yeah. And by the way, in the chat, Shareable Texas said that there is too much beautiful on the panel. And then I was going to say, he followed up and said Scott and Christian. So thank you, Shareable Texas, who's not even from Texas, which you as a Texan should be offended by. But anyway, sorry. So, look, the special prosecutor, I know there are a lot of people were very excited. And when I was watching the season finale of Saturday Night Live on Saturday, a lot of the sketches and jokes were geared towards the feeling that you get that people on that show, who work on that show, who are on that show, think that he won't be president when they come back in September.
Oh, right.
Which I'm like, oh, that's fun that you think that. Yeah. But even if something were to be found and you have, you know, the hearings, and you still have a Republican Senate that has to impeach him.
It's 67 votes.
Yeah.
Well, it still has to go through the House and then to the Senate.
And they didn't even impeach Bill Clinton, who they hated. So, not that they love Trump. So, you know, it's great that people are excited. I think having the independent counsel is very important to actually find out what's going on. But, I mean, people are putting the cart so far ahead of the horse. Let's find out what there is. Just because you appointed it is like, okay, well, now it's game over. You know, LeBron James is on the court. We've won the game. There's no way he could possibly lose.
Well, but then I've seen articles, and I'm starting to buy into it, that make me nervous about impeaching Trump, because then you're left with Pence. And let's just say you even get rid of Pence. Then you got Paul Ryan. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure how much better that is. I would almost like the batshitness to continue. Oh my God, I'm sorry. I just
okay. I know I was going to say
we have children.
I know
audience,
I almost said that
but,
too.
She's but mature.
Chisness.
Oh God.
Bat
so,
poop.
So so as to because what if somebody that looks presidential like Pence or even Paul Ryan takes over for Trump when if he's impeached, and then people will feel so much better
mm-hmm.
that it will restore their faith in the Republican Party, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And compared to Trump, Pence will seem like a saint. They'll reelect
him.
He
might actually get something done.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the Republicans will have, you know, move through this unscathed.
Right, exactly. And that, and I, it's exactly what you said is the same way I feel, too, is that the fact that if we take them out of the equation, then we do make it easier for, especially too quickly, then it's too easy for next year's midterms to just overlook it. We have a normal person in power, and it's like the wolf in sheep's clothing that can now pass the more extreme agendas and is more, you know, the traditional politician. But on the other hand, I don't. They're not going to be able to do the impeachment, like you said, that fast.
And
I think if anything happens, he resigned before.
I think if he sees the writing on the
right.
wall, whether it be impeachment
right.
or not, we talked
yes.
about this last week, not getting reelected
right.
in 2020.
In 2020, I
think he would step down for any number of reasons.
Well, I have a question, Chelsea. You're mm-hmm. the lawyer, so you might know. So
recovering
if there
lawyer.
Was recovering
Thank
lawyer.
You.
If there was an actual crime that was committed that Robert Mueller finds out and. And he goes before. I mean, couldn't he potentially be taken out because of that crime as
still
well?
To be impeached.
He still has to be impeached.
Go
mm-hmm,
through
convicted.
A trial.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the trial is the
I
impeachment.
Mean, if he's convicted, I would think that the Republicans would say, okay, he needs to be impeached. There's been an actual crime.
No, the impeachment would be the trial.
Trial.
So,
and it still has
so
to go through the House.
The prosecutor just brings the charges.
Right.
But if someone's actually goes through a trial and they've committed the crime and they're guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but
that trial is the impeachment.
Is the impeachment.
Right. It's not a trial and then impeachment.
Right.
So, I mean, it made me a little nervous when Rod Rosenstein named a special counsel because I'm like, oh, great. This is going to take forever.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be long. This is going to
be
drawn out.
Out.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is probably not the best move. We probably should have done an independent commission.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah. But then I'm like a little okay with this taking a while. And because of the protections built in from our judicial system against
mm-hmm.
the accused, there's going to be some level of, I don't know, quietness,
mm-hmm.
some level, not total. Mm-hmm. And so Trump may not see the writing on the wall for a very long time. And I hope he doesn't because I don't want him to escape too quickly.
Right. And then I think the other, like you said, the only other issue about the special prosecutor is that still Trump could fire him or have someone else fire him to slow down the process.
He can't fire him directly. He can't fire the special prosecutor.
Right, but he
directly.
Can have he can have Rosenstein do that, and that's the problem is that he can still influence that like Nixon did in Watergate
mm-hmm.
and slow down the process. But yes, like Chelsea was saying, for a president, it's like going on trial is the impeachment,
mm-hmm.
and it still has to go through the House first, and then it has to go through the Senate, and then 67 senators have to actually say yes to the impeachment to remove him from office. So that's
just,
where you get the challenge, where it's very difficult to do
that. They would
sit
still and allow something, an actual crime.
I think it would depend on the
severity
of the crime.
Yes.
You know, because like the things that are getting thrown around right now, maybe enough of them don't feel like it's significant enough. And they're just waiting. They're waiting for more.
Right.
Just today, who was it that testified today and said, I won't use the word collusion, but Russians...
Definitely
reached out
to Trump officials.
And Trump officials
mm-hmm. were in contact.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But
Rogers
so to what degree that is what they're still going to have to find out. But you know the overall issue is like again the Republicans are not going to kick him out as long as his base still supports him because they're so afraid of 2018 and already how difficult it's going to be for them that if they kick out and that base is so upset about it. That they know they're going to lose. So they're going to be very careful and they're playing, you know, politics, but they're not going to do it until they know their base has completely turned away from him to even do impeachment, to even
right.
go there.
And then sort of back to Chelsea's earlier point about Mike Pence being president and then actually running to,
mm-hmm.
you know, serve out a full term.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody asked Mother what she thinks? Would he be allowed to
Every
run
time
for president?
You say that, I just cringe.
We'd have to check with Mother.
Now,
I don't know where Mother
now,
stands.
Exactly.
On this.
Well, the only other route they can go is the 25th Amendment, which has never been used before in that capacity, which would then have to get the authority again of Congress and Senate and the cabinet to then say that he is not fit to be president.
Okay.
And that would have to be started by Mike Pence. Mike Pence has to actually start that process.
So the guy who would get the job
has to, in effect, say he is not able to uphold his duties as president. And then from the 25th Amendment, then you have to go through all the cabinets. And the majority of the cabinet has to then say, yes, we agree he is not able to uphold the duty.
Did you just map out season six of House of Cards? Because it sounds like... By the way,
it's never been done before.
I was just trying to think of a vice president who would do that so that they could get the job. And the only potential vice president I could think of, John Edwards. I think he definitely would have done that, by the way.
But it's never been done before. But that's the thing, you know, when you see Mike Pence do the pack for the 2018 and 2020 elections, you're like, oh, that is weird, because a vice president normally doesn't do that.
I think that Pence will be implicated as well in all
hopefully,
of this
hopefully, because he's
and
not so
he's
innocent.
And if he's implicated, I think Ryan will be implicated also.
Ooh, now that one is a leap.
Then you
and
then you get 85-year-old Orrin Hatch to be president.
Precisely. See, this does not end well.
No.
We have to wait until...
18, get a Democratic Congress in 18, and get more Democratic governors, and then in 20 be able to boot them out for sure.
So we're asking people to strap themselves in for 4 years of this.
Well, I'm saying no until 18, and then get the Democratic Congress, the majority, to then impeach him.
It sounds like it's going to take a while.
So then, but that's the problem. So then you impeach him, and then you get Pence for 2 years, who proves that he's much more reasonable than Trump, and we're.
We might not get Pence.
I think Pence is weakened. It's just like Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford pardoned, if he doesn't pardon Trump, I'm just going on a leap again, because I'm just saying he's going to be impeached and resign or whatever. But I'm saying Pence will already be weakened because he's associated with Trump regardless. Even if he's more normal, he's still weakened the fact that he's too close.
Well, we're finding that Pence knew certain information that he says that he didn't know.
Yeah, just like it was with Ford.
In regards to Flynn, for example.
You're too close. Even if you're not directly affiliated, you're still part of that problem. And so people are going to be more likely to be like, we want a clean house and get those people out that were associated with that. So in that sense, I think he would be greatly weakened. And again, Trump didn't win by a majority to begin with.
But what it comes down to is, you know, you have to find things that are impeachable offenses. And I hear a lot of allegations about these things. But as of yet, we don't really know what's proven. We know what James Comey said was said to him. And,
right.
You know, I could write a memo right now that you said something right. terrible
well, but,
about
but
Chelsea, but that doesn't
Trump
mean it happened.
Trump went on TV and said that he got rid of Comey because of the Russia investigation.
And
without anything that happened before that, that could by itself be obstruction of justice. And the more that Trump talks about it, it makes his state of mind that it really was to... deflect from this investigation to impede
that was
very obvious. And that's the hardest part of getting somebody for obstruction of justice is the mindset.
And you would know as a lawyer the memcoms that the FBI does in details. Like, memcoms are a whole thing of being able to track your conversations with people, and FBI and law enforcement officials are notorious, not in a bad way, but
they
are known for keeping, you know, tons of records for the very exact
helpful.
Things.
So I was going to say, today, those two intelligence officers, Admiral Mike Rogers and Senator Coates, both said that Trump was trying to push them to push this narrative out of the media. Maybe not specifically get rid of the investigation because they don't have that ability, but they said today... on TV, in front of everyone, that's what he was doing. I mean, that's more fuel to the fire.
This is the same thing that sunk the travel bans, is that you can have, you know, a lawyer, you know, write up the executive order to issue the ban, and it can look kosher on paper. But then the judges who hear these cases look at all the circumstances around it, what was really meant, what was really intended. Was this really a Muslim ban? Was this a ban based on religion? Even though that word is not used in the ban itself,
is that
we
what
know
it overall
from campaigns
was?
And
right.
from the president says. So
and what the
Trump
meaning
will
is
do
behind
himself
it.
In with these tweets and with these interviews, and he won't know he's doing himself in.
Right, and that's what they were saying, too, is that he may not, and that's what Brennan was saying, too, is like he may not even realize that he has done treasonous-type things because he's been doing them and not even know he's been doing it throughout this time period.
He's asking the nation's top spies to engage in a PR campaign.
But here's the thing. If you look at the law of treason, it doesn't fit the definition. And so treason probably won't be it.
No. That's true. That is true. It's
from what we know now. So that's what it all comes down to is we need to figure it out. Yeah,
no, I was going to say the other thing I would – final thought is – impeachment is also different. It doesn't have to be criminal in the traditional sense of criminal. It can basically mean the House and the Senate feel. So if we get a Democratic majority, let's say in 19, they can just say we feel what he's doing is wrong.
Or they could do, you know, with Clinton.
It's wrong.
Get them to lie under oath.
And it's not really... But they can find other ways that are more political, although it's terrible saying I don't think Democrats would do that. But it could be based more on political things, and that's what happened with Andrew Johnson back in the 1860s. I mean, I know I'm going way back. But he wasn't actually impeached because of anything criminal. He was impeached basically under political reasons and Reconstruction, all that stuff. So the point is, impeachment doesn't have to be a president doing illegal acts. It can now be more of a political thing that the majority of Congress and Senate feels, yes, that they lied or they misled, and that's enough to say they did not do their duty as president and they need to be removed. So there's impeachment is a lot more murkier than just a criminal.
But a special prosecutor is only looking for crimes.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's the difference, too, with that. But also special prosecutors
and
has
so
a wide range of...
What it all comes down to...
This is of a criminal nature.
Right.
He expressed that, and Rod Rosenstein expressed that to
Lindsey Graham had said that, yeah.
And so what it ultimately all comes down to is Alec Baldwin will still be playing Trump in September. Now, we only have a few more
minutes.
Maybe.
I mean, Trump still could resign. You never know what Trump is.
Not
so
over the summer. Nobody's going to do anything over the summer. You know, this is basically everybody's just going to
Everything
coast.
Is up for grabs now with Trump. You never know.
That's true.
I did want to take a
moment and talk about President Trump's budget proposal that would cut $3.6 trillion over the next 10 years. When I hear about big budget cuts, I'm like, oh, this sounds very interesting. And then, of course, you look and you see what gets cut.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy things that we don't need, like science and research and disease prevention. I don't know who's likely to pass this budget. I don't think it's actually there to be implemented. Scott, you're already shaking your head. So as you read about this, what did
yes.
you think?
Well, again, it's always harder for the actual Republican Congress to be able to pass these. It's much easier for Trump. He can wait until 2020. And he's not going to get direct blame. But these congressmen and women are going to get direct blame in midterms next year when certain things are cut. And, you know, again, like a lot of healthcare stuff was cut. But, of course, they increased the budget for the military and the wall. But they cut out all these social programs that help their very own people that they claim that they want to help, the working class and everything else. They're cutting and tons of stuff as far as healthcare, Medicaid expansion.
A National Cancer Institute.
Exactly. A lot of stuff that shouldn't be. And so, of course, Republicans in Congress are not going to sign off on this final budget at all because they are the ones that are going to have to face the voters next, and they're dealing with more local issues than President Trump is.
Right, exactly. I think that's Chelsea, were you looking for something?
These are my notes that because I read the whole budget treatise that came out. And just
I'm so sorry.
A new foundation
that you read the whole thing.
I read the Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, I couldn't say those words without getting nauseous, so thank you for saying them for me. But some of what was interesting to me besides the numbers was the narrative, the story that was told inside of it. And just crazy things that, for example, on the death tax, abolish the death tax, which penalizes farmers and small business owners who want to pass their family enterprise onto their children. Okay, that's small farmers and okay, the tax right now, the way it works as of this moment, if somebody dies, the first $5 million are passed on
yes.
without any taxes. And then the rest is taxed. So to say that this is penalizing farmers and small business owners is just so patently false that I can't believe a word in the rest of this. I mean, just everything. I mean, it gets worse from there. I mean, it's just, it really, it assumes that the American public is stupid.
Well, sadly,
which
a lot of people are because
say,
they don't read and they only
not,
get certain things spoon-fed to them, which is true.
You're not going to fail if you assume the American people are stupid.
Here's another one. The budget proposes...
Except for viewers of this show. We love you guys.
Except for viewers like you.
Legislation to restructure the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was Elizabeth Warren's sort of agency that she pushed, the one that found the fraud that Wells Fargo was perpetrating
right.
against
and
its own
works
customers,
for consumers
right?
and consumers'
And so
benefits.
They want to... They want to restructure the oversight and focus the efforts on enforcing the law rather than impeding free commerce. See, who believes this shiznit?
Right. And again, it's for corporations.
Thank
again.
You for cleaning it up.
Thank
yes.
you.
And we have about one more minute. So
basically to say that this is for the benefit of the middle class. The people who at the one of the first sentences is a new foundation of focus on the forgotten American worker who now has an advocate in the Oval Office. But let us gut the CPFB
Let us gut Medicaid. Let's gut all those other things are going to help you.
I mean,
and also you can't have both without the other, because if you're cutting, you're also going to be increasing the deficit, which Republicans claim they want to cut back.
And they're putting a lot more money towards defense.
And defense again, and they claim they're going to have 3-4% growth, but the it looks like 1.9%. It's still the growth that's not going
to
be what they said, and you're going
to
have more deficit.
Expect that you're
going to
have consistent growth
for
10 years in a row is like, what planet are you living on?
And we all want a nation that's worth defending, right? If we're trying to defend our nation, we want a nation that's smart and healthy
and educated.
No. Not everybody does, because
certain people don't want educated voters for that very reason, because they want to be able to say like this.
There's no better place to become an educated voter than watching the Trump Report, which usually is Tuesdays at 7 Pacific. But I want to let everybody know that next week, because it's my wife's birthday, we'll be doing the show at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, but you can always find it after the fact on YouTube or on iTunes. Just follow us on Twitter at Trump Report ABTV. You'll always know when the next show is. Thanks, everybody in the chat. Sorry that we were having so much fun chatting that we didn't drag you guys into the chat more, but we always appreciate you being there. For Scott Moore at SMan80, Chelsea Galicia at Chelsea Galicia, Brooke Solis at Brooke Solis TV, I'm Christian Blatt at Christian DMZ, and we will see you next week, Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific. We'll go back to our regular slot on June 3rd. Thanks so much, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.
Wait, what day is it? Next Tuesday. I'm out of town. Well, I'm back in Texas.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll keep in touch. We'll have you back.
Yeah. You know what? I read the funniest comment. They were like, who's this girl, Brooke?
I had it in my notes, but we read it.
They were like, she's so far left, she makes Chelsea look like a young college Democrat or something.
Sturgeon resident wrote that.
Really?
Yeah.
A young college Republican.
Because I was going to read.
I was going to read, too.
In Trump, and when we did Trump versus Hillary, he was calling me a communist.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're a young
Republican. Well, compared
young
to you. I was going to read the one the person's like, oh, I've never seen her before, which I'm like, wait, she's been on a couple times.
Yeah. I was going to say, because...
But he did say I would be a great addition to the panel.
Yeah, so I was going to read that one and then be like, but not everybody. Yeah, but then we ran out of time.
That's so
like
funny.
Always. And again, I didn't get to talk about Betsy DeVos getting booed.
I'm sorry, you're
moved
so
that. I moved that into...
Oh,
this,
my gosh.
My
any advice?
The whole thing.
I thought I would do... I know this sounds crazy. Because I have my own company, like I have a completely different career, but I thought, you know what, I'll do this for fun.
I mean, law school itself is not that bad. I
would
not.
Did you do skill or regular?
Regular.
Okay.
I don't think I would have done it. Right. I'm not practicing anymore. If it wasn't for the fact that my parents paid for it, I would never have done it, and I would not.
Because what do you... So you don't want to be a lawyer?
No. All good lawyers become lawyers and then quit being lawyers.
Yeah. See where you're a lawyer.
Yeah.
It was nice to sit next to you.
Unless you were so good.
You were very well behaved.
Really something super specific that you need it for.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of too late. I'm starting to...
I don't know. Have you sent a check?
Yeah. My deposit. Southwest.
Oh, my God.
Skill, yeah.
My baby's school.
Yeah. So.